This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
With us?
Yes, it's our final guest for today, but it is someone that we love here at the Sunday Arts Magazine and have interviewed a couple of times before at least. We have on the line the award-winning international cabaret performer who began her career as a principal soprano for Opera Australia and is the founder of Fluxus, which is concept creation, and has three new operatic works in development, but today is chatting to us about Happy End with the Victorian Opera. We have Ali McGregor. Thank you for joining us. Hello. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. It's very nice to hear your voices again.
Yes. It sounds like, as always, you have quite a bit on the go at the moment.
Oh, she's got to keep busy.
Now, Ali, I'm sure there aren't many people out there who don't know your work, but just to give the rundown for anyone that isn't as familiar with your background, would you mind just telling us a little bit about your arts journey and your current work at the moment?
Sure. Well, you summed it up pretty well in the intro, but basically I was an operatic soprano who ran away with a circus and kind of joined the cabaret brigade, but then has sort of come back into the arms of opera in later years, which I think one is wont to do in a sense. But and so now I kind of straddle both worlds. And the piece that I'm doing at the moment that we open on Wednesday, The Happy End, which was composed by Kurt Weill, with words by Elizabeth Hauptmann and Bertolt Brecht, is kind of the perfect vehicle for me in the fact that it kind of straddles both worlds as well. It is an opera in a sense. It was sort of, Kurt Weill and Brecht used to call them, translates as utility operas, operas that have a purpose. Mm. But it also has a sort of Weimar cabaret feel, certainly in the orchestration, and the songs are, Kurt Weill songs are very commonly done in cabaret scenes because every song of his has this sort of little narrative within it. They're almost like little shows, little stories in and of themselves. So, it's a fabulous piece. It's set in Chicago in the 1920s, and it's a sort of story between a gang and Salvation Army, which sounds familiar because people may know of Guys and Dolls, but this actually predates Guys and Dolls, but it has a lot of similarities. And I think Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht wanted to do something that kind of a comedic look at capitalism, if you will. Mm. So a little bit politically charged, but also quite funny. And, in the end, everyone realises that they're all fighting the same common enemy, which is just kind of capitalism, really.
Yeah.
So kind of weirdly timely. I don't think that conversation has really stopped since then. So it's really interesting to be exploring it again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's had a few like peaks in history as well. Like I heard it first opened in 1929 in Berlin, but it had like a short run. And then in 1977, it had a huge run on Broadway. It had 77 performances. So it's clearly quite beloved.
It is beloved, but it's not often now. And interestingly, that very first one in 1929, it shut early because Bertolt Brecht's wife, who was an actress, well-known actress at the time, apparently read directly from a communist manifesto on stage. Oh. So the rumour is that it got shut down pretty quick smart. And the later production, or I'm not sure if she did the whole run, but the actress playing Hallelujah Lil, which is in our production played by the amazing Lucy Maunder, was played by Meryl Streep.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It does have a pretty fantastic history, but I don't think it's been done in Australia before, so it's a really great opportunity. And it was done, weirdly, the Kurt Weill songs were released before the piece was. So when people came along to this show, some of the songs were really familiar with them already. They were kind of pop songs of the day. You know, the sheet music had been out and about, being sung in the cabaret bars. And so people came along and it was a play, but then with these kind of popular songs interspersed within it. And some of Kurt Weill's most famous kind of Weimar songs are in this, Surabaya Johnny, which I actually don't know a cabaret singer who hasn't sung that. I actually posted a little thing on social the other day with a sort of medley of, you know, Lotte Lenya singing it, and Ute Lemper and Patti LuPone and Bette Midler, and Nina Hagen. It's had a great history.
Right.
The Bilbao song and Mandalay. It's got some really great music in it.
Wow.
Amazing. I can just imagine Nina Hagen doing that. Yep. I mean, as you said, it's a Bertolt Brecht production as well. Well known in the theatre vein for his work, but for anyone that isn't familiar with the kind of work that Brecht does, like, could you explain what they might expect from that?
Well, interestingly, I'd like to kind of slightly dismiss Bertolt Brecht in this case, only because only recently really have I even found out, because I grew up thinking, you know, Brecht and Weill were this great partnership. Yep. But it's come to light sort of more recently that Elizabeth Hauptmann, who Brecht called his secretary, actually wrote the bulk of this show. And she also wrote a lot of Throppany opera and translated that from John Gay's Beggar's Opera from the English, and also was uncredited as a writer on Mahogany. So
wow.
I'm really fascinated with her writing because this piece has got a few brazen feminists in it. I play a gang boss, the Flyer, the Lady in Red, and so the head of the gang is a female, and then you've got the Major, the head of the Salvation Army, also a female, and then Alleluia Lil, who is actually a bit of a badass and look, you know, stares danger in the face. And so I'm kind of really super interested in Elizabeth Hauptmann, and I've been looking more up about her. She never really sort of fought for her nat. I don't know if she really thought it was that important. She ended up moving to America, and really interesting woman herself. So although Brecht, you know, is the person people know a lot about, you know, it's come to light that he had a lot of other people kind of writing for him, and I'm not sure how much of a cool dude he was, frankly. So let's celebrate Elizabeth Hauptmann in this case.
Yeah, I love that spin. That's
exactly,
a spicy
yes.
little bit of history rewriting. Very good. And so, Ali, who else are you working with on this production?
Oh, it's such a fabulous cast. The cast is made up of some of Australia's sort of best musical theatre actors and singers, plus also some operatic singers and great theatre actors. Lucy Maunder and Adam Murphy play the two leads, Alleluia Lil and Bill Cracker. They've most recently actually played, really, father and daughter in The Fun Home, although it was in flashback, so it's not too creepy. you know, they're both such incredible music theatre performers, really super versatile, and kind of they're the sort of performers that are never out of work. They always seem to be in show. They're so good, and they're really, really good in this. And then we've got this really fantastic cast of some unknown and younger actors that have come up, but they're all actors who, you know, have been seen in things like, you know, Harry Potter and other shows that have been around the trap. So it's been a really fabulous journey for me, because there's been a lot of actors in this that I didn't know before and have only just sort of found out about their work, and I'm really loving working with them. And it's been a tough old, anyone working in the arts at the moment, we're rehearsing every day in masks. And you know, I actually was at a traffic light the other day walking at my lunch break, and sort of saw this man next to me, smiled, and I thought, oh, that's lovely. And then I realised when I got back that it was the man who plays my long-lost love, and I'd just never seen him without a mask on, and I didn't recognise him. So, you know, we've all got very good at eye acting, and, you know, this week we're in the theatre and we finally get to see everyone's faces, so that's super exciting.
Yeah.
But,
it must have been hard. It must have been hard doing, a musical with masks involved as well.
Yeah, singing with masks on. So that's the kind of where the arts is at the moment for us to keep going. You know, we're doing rat tests every day and we're masked up, and it's, you know, look, but it's a small price to pay for actually being able to get back in the theatre and get back to live performance. So, you know, but it's a new world.
Well, it's really exciting just to have shows back on. I have to say, everything I've seen recently, I've just been thrilled to be in the audience, and I can only imagine how it feels being a performer being back out there. So,
oh, it is so, your feeling is absolutely mutual, yeah. And I should also say the other star of this show is the divine Mark Horwell, who, if anyone saw our production of Lorelei with Victorian Opera a few years ago, she was the incredible designer of that. She's also the designer of the Dorian Gray production from Sydney Theatre Company that's winning all sorts of awards at the moment. She's an incredible Melbourne-based designer, and she's found this just fantastic sort of blend of kind of 80s kitsch, 70s gangland, Weimar, Salvation Army vibe. I don't know, her move forwards were just spectacular and sparkle over the wall. And the picture she showed me to inspire me was a fantastic picture of Helena Bonham Carter in Fight Club, just with cigarette in hand and a fedora pulled over her face, and I was just, I loved every bit of that. So it's really super exciting to see it come to life in the theatre, and the band is just so, some of the best musicians in Melbourne in this band. I it's so incredible when you get, you get to finally, after, a month of rehearsing, you get with the band and you're like, oh my God, these are all fantastic solo musicians. So, there's so many reasons to come and see this show. And there's only four shows, so
Gotta get in quick then. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Ali. And so for anyone who's interested, the show is Happy End. It's with the Victorian Opera, and it's going to be on at the Playhouse Theatre with the Arts Centre. And as Ali said, it is a brief run, so get your tickets, because it's the 23rd of March to the 26th of March. And if you want to find out more, victorianopera.com.au is the place to go. But Ali, best of luck with the production. Can't wait to see you playing The Fly.
Thank you
and
so
like.
Much. And I'm hoping maybe you can find somewhere today to play a Surabaya Johnny, maybe the Nina Hagen or the Ute Lemper, or even the Ute Lemper, if you want to hear it in English, it's such a great song. I think your audience would really love to hear it.
If we can find something, we will. I think our catalogue might be falling short today, but we will try our best.
No worries. Well, then I encourage everyone else to find yourself a version of it and listen to it. It's a really, truly fantastic song that tells a story and is just one of my favourite songs ever.
Oh, fab.
Thank you so much, Ali.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. We've been talking to Ali McGregor here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.